It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. You have overtime on your airwaves, clocking in on this Thursday at 6:01 p.m., taking you up until 8 o'clock tonight. You are one day away from Friday, which means it will be football eve tomorrow for the Tennessee Volunteers, and it's the third Saturday in October. I'm trying to think, Cole. By the way, I'm your host, Tanner Carson. Joined alongside me tonight, once again, it's a tag team.
Tag team, baby.
Cole McCormick in the producer's chair.
Yeah.
So the question I was going to ask before I remember to actually introduce ourselves, is it actually going to be the third Saturday in October, Saturday, right?
Yes. Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
It seems like they used to not have it on the third Saturday.
There for a few years, they didn't. It was usually like the second or fourth. Yeah. But yeah. Then I know a couple years back they made it. For some reason, they brought it back. Because I know at first it was just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. It was just a third Saturday. And then it was named that. And then they went away from it. And now the past few years they've been back. So, I mean, why not make it official?
Yeah. I was just making sure that thought occurred to me. I wasn't even thinking that earlier today. That just occurred to me that, oh, wow, it's accurate when it comes to the date
mm-hmm.
and the calendar and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Gotta love tradition, man.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, God.
That's why we all love this place.
God, why we have to play this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah. I mean.
You had so much momentum after Auburn, and now all of a sudden you got to face them.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. That's just, you know, just like we just said, it's all about tradition. That's why, I mean, that's the main reason we still play them. Tradition. Yeah. We've been playing them forever. We love it and we hate it.
And I know that this series has been a very streaky series.
Always.
Understand that this is the second time Alabama's won 11 in a row.
Yep.
Against Tennessee. It's probably going to go to 12. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it'll be a new record.
Sorry, guys. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But that, like, it was like 11 in a row for Alabama from the early 70s to the early 80s.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee had like a little streak in the middle of the 80s. Then it was like a 10-game winning streak for Alabama, but one of them was a tie in 1993 that was eventually forfeited over to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't forfeited over at the time.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, Fulmer just owned Alabama.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Owned them.
They hate him.
Seven in a row from 95 to 02. And then, you alternated a couple. Well, no, you ended it in 02. Then you won two back-to-back, 03, 04.
Mm-hmm.
They won that terrible 6-3 game in 2005. I still remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst football games I had ever seen.
Yeah,
ever. It was terrible. I think you fumbled out of the back of the end zone in that one too late in the game to kind of seal your fate. I forgot who it was.
I can't remember. I don't know.
But anyway, then the last time Tennessee won. 2006.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know sometimes, like, when I get bored and I feel like I'm in a football mood, I'll watch some old Tennessee games, some old TV broadcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly just to, like, relive a game I watched but probably didn't remember a lot of. And second, just to see what the TV broadcasts were like just a little over a decade ago.
Sure.
That there's the video of the 06 Tennessee-Alabama game. It starts off with a clip of College Game Day from earlier in that day. I don't remember where they were at, but they were discussing the game. And, of course, Tennessee was a top 10 team going into that one. Bama was undefeated. But they were Shula had them being a pretty good team at that point, which would end up being his last season. They were discussing on the game day set, does Alabama have a chance to upset the Vols?
Oh, man.
I'm like, oh, God.
God, that would make me cry.
Fowler and Herbie and Corso talking about what Alabama had to do to pull an upset of the Mighty Vols.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, how the turntables.
Yeah.
How the turntables.
Yep.
Well, enough of being sad. Game's going to be here whether we want to or not. Talking about the game a little bit, and I don't know how much more we could really say about what you're looking forward to, because I think the majority of us are, A, looking forward to making sure we don't get people hurt.
Yes.
Two, seeing if we can score a few touchdowns on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure that you look like you have some fight in you. You look like you haven't lost that dog that was in you last week on the road at Auburn. Really, you look for this team to come out and be the complete opposite of how we have been all week.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect them to come out showing no fear.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, I don't care what the polls say. I don't care what points you put up. I don't care how many rings you've had in the past few years. And every single coaching staff on every single team, they're going to tell you the same thing if you ask them. They expect to win every game.
Yeah.
They expect to win every game. They expect that the game plan they have developed throughout the week is going to be what gets them a victory. They watch film just like everyone else does. They know where there's some points you can exploit for Alabama. And they know what they have to do as an offense and as a defense to attack that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all only going to come down to execution. I mean, coaching, which is every game, but I mean, and that department kind of outclassed.
Yeah.
You're just outclassed.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
But still, I want the team to come out with that damn fight in them. I expect Juwan Jennings to be the alpha dog he is.
Mm-hmm.
Still be fired up, be cocky, be talking that trash, be trying to put his face mask into somebody's chest.
Yes.
Like he did poor Deshaun Davis of Auburn.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see that clip of him talking to Matt Stinchcomb of the SEC Network?
I did.
For the film room.
I did. Incredible.
Oh, I love Juwan so much. He was saying, man, it felt good to do that. I haven't done that in a while. And I'm sorry that he had to be the one who received that, because I'm sure his mom and dad were watching.
Oh, Lord.
And I know he's still feeling it.
Yeah. It was incredible. I love his attitude.
Just to hear him just talk trash about somebody like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you go beyond talking trash like, yeah, I laid you out with a block.
Yeah.
And he's still continuing, man. I'm sorry your parents had to see that.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Emasculating.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I still expect people on the team to come out with that same fight. I don't expect anything different.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing I've really taken away and noticed so far under Jeremy Pruitt and his staff is our players, they come out with this confidence that we didn't really have last year. Like, they come out with just, like, this attitude of, like, even if we know you're probably better than us, but we're going to give you our best. We're not going to lay down. Last year, we saw a lot of guys laying down and quitting. And, yeah, we saw that in the first few games, sure. But I feel like after this past weekend, even the Georgia game, they've kind of starting to weed that out, and the attitude over there is starting to change. And I wouldn't expect anything less this weekend.
No, absolutely not. And like you said, for the majority of the games this season, you've come out and shown that new attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You've shown that fight that, hey, we may not have the dogs, we may not have the talent, but by God, we're going to play like it.
Yeah.
The only exception, of course, being Florida. Duh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I ain't going to keep going back to that. We know what happened. Focus on the positives here. Looking forward to these next stretch of games to finish out the second half of the regular season. And we've talked about what we as fans, what we as people in the fake news media would like to see the most, what would be positive for us. What do you think that the team absolutely, outside of injuries, of course, because that's the most important thing, what do you think the team just does not need to go through this Saturday that you think they went through it, that it's going to affect their confidence, it's going to affect their mindset? Would that be getting blown out by wide, wide margins, something to the tune of what happened to Ole Miss? Or, like, what would it be?
Yeah, other than injuries, that would probably be – I think that would be the biggest thing. I think they kind of know going into it that there's a good possibility that will happen, so I think they're kind of, you know, planning for it. But, I mean, yeah, I'd say just not getting blown out would probably be the biggest thing. I mean, especially after such a big win and a big performance last Saturday, turn around your very next game, it's the total opposite. I feel like could be, you know, get some guys down, but hopefully, the staff can rally them. I don't think the staff is in there saying, look, guys, we're probably going to, you know, they're going to hand it to us. I don't think they're saying that.
Yeah, SEC staffs don't say that to their teams, but no matter who they're playing.
But I think the guys just, you know, outside of the football complex, just in their head, they're probably like, it's probably going to happen. And so it's up to the leaders to keep the team up, I would say. But, I mean, yeah, injuries and not getting and getting blown out, I think, would really be the only two big things to set us back.
I'm not going to be here tomorrow since I have high school football. So let's talk about a little bit right now about the game itself. What do you think in your mind for this defense going up against that offense? What's a realistic number to hold Alabama's offense to, given what we've seen from this defense, which has looked really good in some spurts?
Mm-hmm. Realistic number to hold them? I don't think we hold them under 45, honestly.
Which is fine. I mean, well, it's not fine, but I mean, that's what to be expected. That's what they scored on you in Tuscaloosa last year. Mm-hmm. They scored 49 the last time it was in Neyland.
Mm-hmm. If it's below, we talked about it the other day, I would like for us to get it under 30. That's what would make me feel good. But I don't see us holding them under 40 at all. 40, 45. I don't see it. I mean, our defense has been better, but this is a different beast.
Yeah, they just came off scoring their lowest total output of the season last week against Missouri, and it was 39.
Yeah.
If you can hold them to under 40, I think you have a damn good defense.
We're cooking, yeah. And the thing, you know, that really gives me hope, well, I say hope, but a little hope, is, you know, that Jeremy has been there the last, what, 2 years? 2-3 years he was there, so he knows what's going on over there. Maybe, I mean, that's what helped us against Auburn. You know, he's been playing them so long, he kind of had a inside track in a way.
And that's going to go a long way in helping you when it comes to scheme versus scheme. It's just, hey, you can prepare for all the X's and O's, but it comes down to the Jimmys and Joes. And the Jimmys and Joes, man, all up and down the roster, that's just not what you have. You don't have that yet. So I do think Pruitt, like I said a few minutes ago, he's going to come up, him, Tyson Helton, Kevin Shearer, Tracy Rocker, all the guys on the staff, they're going to come up with a game plan that they are going to say to themselves, and what they are genuinely probably going to believe is going to be a game-winning plan. And they're going to implement that because they're not dumb. They got to this level for a reason. So I think they're going to know how to match up with Alabama when it comes to scheme. But man, just the talent level.
The talent,
that's what's going to kill you in the end.
Yeah, I mean the talent level and then also the development. I mean, cuz we know Alabama is developed almost all the way. They're almost an NFL team. Tennessee
got that deer antler spray.
Yeah, Tennessee, we've got a long way to go, but I don't know. I'm not hoping. I mean, I'm hoping for a lot, I'm not expecting a lot.
No. Just hope for positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Just hope that something happens that we have a few examples to write home about.
All I want to see is fight. That's all I want to see. Even if we get blown out, which we will, I just want to see us fight.
And for basically all of Alabama's opponents this season, that's about what their fan bases can ask for as well.
I mean, it's just
same type of thing. That's what Arkansas's fan base was asking for. That's what Ole Miss's fan base was asking for.
They're just unstoppable. They are. They're unstoppable.
I think they can be stopped, but there's maybe two, no more than like three teams that could do it.
Yeah, they won't play them this year.
Yeah, probably not. 865-546-8200. That's the number for the McKinney team. Phone lines, if you'd like to take a shot now, we're going to hit this first break of the program. Stay with us here. Got a lot of great stuff coming up. Going to be all over the place, basically. So call in here. Once again, it's 865-546-8200. Overtime will continue right after this. Back here on the show, I want to tell you guys about our great phone line sponsors, the McKinney team with Keller Williams Realty. They define success with one measurement. That is client satisfaction. And if you aren't left with a positive experience, then they haven't done their job. The Knoxville housing market is as hot as it's ever been, and you need a team of professionals in your corner fighting for you. Visit ZillowKnoxville.com to browse their listings and learn more about our wonderful area, and their number is 865-548-8267. That's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. Let's go over now to the McKinney team phone lines. Grab a call from T-Carp. T-Cart, buddy, how are you?
I'm good. Ad Victoria, my friend. That is what I want us to go toward.
Oh, the Brotherhood of Steel. Yes.
That's right.
The Brotherhood did nothing wrong, T-Cart. They did nothing wrong.
I don't know.
That's for another day.
That is. Anywho, amigos, I'd like to keep it to under 30, but I want the team, you know, I don't want to get caught up, but I want the team to feel like, guys, they're regular human beings just like we are. They're football players. They do all this. And I know this is all, you know, well and good to say that because they're five stars and they've been killing everybody. But seriously, if you do your job on the football field the way you're supposed to and you make plays, you can play with anybody. Now, that offensive line has got to play out of their mind. But it can happen. And, you know, I just want this team to come out and play the best game they can. And if they play their best game and Alabama has an off day, I think we can. It's in the realm of possibility. I also want to see what this coaching staff can do. See, I want to see how the mentality of this coaching staff, how they come into this being crazy underdogs, and what are they going to do to give this team the best chance to win. I'm not necessarily worried about the players. I'm worried about how these coaches do. Are we just going to come in with our old, you know, just stagnant, you know, play calling and, you know, run, do this, do that? Dude, we got to throw something different at them. We've got to get these players out in space and make just something happen. And that's what's going to, you know, tell me a lot about this team too. You know, we played very well against Auburn. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, Auburn may be down and out, but can we all agree that, you know, they out-coached Malzahn?
They absolutely did. They absolutely out-coached him. And I'm thinking right now, the results on the scoreboard aside for some of the other games, do you agree with me, T-Carp, that I think from an attitude standpoint, this team, at least right now for this season, they at least come out playing better when they have a chip on their shoulder. Now, the final score might not indicate that in the Georgia game, the West Virginia game. I'm not going to count the Florida game because we weren't massive underdogs in that one. But some of these other games, man, they come out really pissed off that people are downing them.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. The only thing I, again, would put against is the Florida game. And that may have been one of the crazy low points for this team. And they said, well, we've got everything out of our system. We're as low as we can go right now. We can only go up from here. Let's do it. So
yeah.
That may be of what happened in the locker room. Now, if I'm the coach, I open it up. I mean, I make it, you know, I throw it on. And if they pick it 50 times, whatever. But we're not going to beat them running into the mouth and the teeth of that defense. We're just not.
T-Car, I think we have our best chance to score on them on offense by throwing it. That secondary is the weak point of that team. They have lost key pieces back there. Arguably, their best cornerback, Trayvon Diggs, he's out for the season with a broken foot. Now, I know when it comes to Alabama, well, if you lose a starter, you just plug in another 4- and 5-star guy back there. I understand that, but, man, they're not the typical Alabama defense.
50-50, man.
Yeah.
So I say throw it on. Start throwing it deep. But, you know, make sure you're doing it smart, as smart as you can, but give your players chances to make plays in space. Because I'm sorry, Ty Chandler is and this offensive line are not going to push them for 3 yards of carry. It's just not going
to
happen.
No, you cannot do what you were doing against Auburn, trying to establish the run up the middle every single first down. It's not going to work.
Yeah, you know, they finally started running those tunnel screens, which is, you know, tunnel screens and slants.
And I love seeing
on
that.
On third down.
Love seeing it.
Yep. So, tunnel screens and slants to your dog. Give him the football on third down. Let him get 3, 4, 5, 6 yards and keep the chains going. you know?
Absolutely.
And see what happens. Just if Tennessee plays smart, they have a 20% chance to win. I'm serious. Now, I'm not I think you know, and Alabama has a you know, Alabama has a bad game and a few turnovers. I'll give us a 10 to 20% chance.
Woo.
Is that unrealistic?
T-Carp, I love hearing those odds because, like, every prediction model you see that's based on analytics is like 4% chance, 5% chance. I will take – hell, I'll take 10%. I'll take it. Forget 20. I will take a 10%.
Okay. Yeah, 10% chance. And you know, do I expect us to win? Hell no.
Mm-mm.
But I think we got a 10% shot after what I've seen at Auburn or at Auburn. So – I just don't want us to get into this mindset. You know, we as fans can get into the, well, let's just keep it to 30 mindset. And that's true, but I don't want this team to come out like that. And I don't think they will, and I don't think this coaching staff will let them from you know, what I'm hearing from Pruitt. And by the way, some great things I'm hearing from Pruitt. I got to talk to Houston, you know, privately today, and I basically asked him, anything crazy going on? He's like, no, it makes our job extremely hard when we actually have a football coach. There's no drama going on.
Ain't that the truth?
I mean, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing to not hear anything and there's no drama going on.
Absolutely.
Guys, thank you so much. I'll get out of here and let someone else talk. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate the phone call, T-Carp, as always. Going, oh, man, T-Carp get me a little excited. I mean, we've seen crazier things happening in the world of college football.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I'm not just thinking of, like, your all-time great upsets, like your Appalachian State or Michigan. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, Power 5 school versus Power 5 school, one being ranked really high, one being a big underdog. Think about the game that put Jim Harbaugh on the map as a head coach. 2007, when he was the head coach at Stanford.
Yeah.
Let me see what the line was. At the time, it may have been beaten, or it may still be standing as the number one spread overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Stanford, man, of course, when Harbaugh got to Stanford, they've been bad for a while.
Yeah.
That was his first season there. They only went 4-8 that year. They still weren't a good team. However, they had it was – early in that crazy 07 season. They were on the road to number two USC.
Mm-hmm.
Still coached by Pete Carroll. Still considered a dynasty at the time.
Yeah.
Even though they had been 3 years removed from a national title. Still, that was 1-3 Stanford going in to play 4-0 USC. What was the spread? Oh, USC was a 41-point favorite.
Mm.
Stanford won by a point. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons we love college football, right? Because you think you know what's going to happen every Saturday, but there's always, you know, something nobody thought was going to happen always happens. Now, do I think it's going to happen this Saturday with us in Alabama? No.
No.
But, I mean, there's always a shot. Like, you're never out of it. There's always a shot.
Yeah, that's why nothing's out of the realm of possibility.
Sure.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, and let's just say complete anomaly happens. The universe splits in two. Tennessee pulls it off Saturday. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be the biggest upset in college football history. It'd be one.
No, yeah.
No, it'd be one of the most memorable ones in SEC history.
Sure.
One of the bigger ones of this decade.
Biggest one for Tennessee.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, top five ever. I would say ever.
So, yeah, 41-point underdog Stanford overcome. By the way, yes, I thought I was right last year. Listen to what overcame that 41-point spread. Do you remember when Howard University, they went on the road to play UNLV last year, and they beat UNLV. Howard was a 45-point underdog.
Hmm.
They won that game.
Hmm.
So I'm just saying, crazier stuff has happened.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk myself into it, but T-Cart made valid points.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to making sure that Tennessee plays their best game of the season, plays perfectly. Going back to talking about offensive strategy, man, you're just going to have to use the space game. You're just going to have to try to out-finesse them, which is really, really hard. But you're not going to line up against those guys and try to bully them. That's the last team you try to do that against.
Yep.
You're going to have to get to your playmakers out in space. Do those tunnel screens. That works so well against Auburn. Get Get it to your dogs.
Yeah.
Get it to Juwan. Get it to Callaway. Get it to Palmer. Get Ty Chandler out in space.
Yep.
Just get out in space and hope that you can keep up your blocking assignments. Try to make the right moves when you have the ball out there. And you get yards on them. You move the ball on them. That's what you're going to have to do to move the ball anyway.
Sure. I think,
Forget the upset talk. Just to move the ball up and down the field against them, at least for a couple of drives, you're just going to have to use all of your playmakers if you're Tyson Helton.
Yeah, if they want to have a shot at winning this game, they're going to have to throw the ball. Not every play.
First.
Yeah, not every play, but more times than not. You cannot run this team.
Can a former Tennessee head coach Mike Leach fax us like his playbook?
Please.
Use the air raid playbook. Garrett Tomlin will finish like 77 pass attempts.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's what we're going to have to do.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Air it out. 865-546-8200. Going to hit this next break here. We will be back with more on the other side and your phone calls when overtime continues. Back in on overtime on this Thursday. Be waiting until 8 o'clock tonight, taking you up to Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football. We've got the Broncos in the Cardinals tonight, live from the desert out in Arizona. Interested in that one? That's kind of a bad matchup.
Yeah, it's
Denver's mediocre, the Cardinals suck, and I'd say that while I'm wearing my Raiders t-shirt.
Yeah.
I know, but this seems like one of those Thursday Night Football games from a few years ago,
mm-hmm,
versus some of the good ones we've had this year.
Yeah.
I'll tune in if it's a close game.
Yeah,
sure.
I'll tune in. I'm not excited because it is a bad matchup, but I mean, I'm excited. It's Thursday night, kickoff to the weekend of, you know, football all weekend. This is the first night.
What's our college games tonight? I know Arizona State and Herm are playing. Who are they facing up against?
Mm-hmm.
Let me check tonight's schedule. Tonight. Oh, we got Arkansas State and Georgia State on ESPNU. Ooh!
Okay.
It is a pretty good matchup tonight. In the Pac-12 after dark, 9 o'clock kickoff, Arizona State hosts Stanford.
Okay. Pretty good matchup.
Two unranked teams, Arizona State and Herm. They're at 500 at 3-3, Stanford at 4-2. But I'll be interested in this one. I think at Arizona State, Stanford needs to watch out. That's a place where Arizona State took down Michigan State, mm-hmm, who's playing pretty good football right now.
Yeah.
For as goofy as Herm Edwards is,
yeah,
it looks like at least his team's bought in for now.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? I mean, I don't think you have to do too many impressive feats at Arizona State to have a long tenure there. So we'll see. We'll see how this first year goes under, in his words, the new leadership model.
Yeah.
That's one of the strangest things that's ever happened.
That is odd.
For the fact that initially they kept everybody except the head coach and just plugged Herm in. Who's the dude that used to be there? Who's the dude who had the why have I forgot his name?
At Arizona State?
Yeah, why have I forgot his name? He used to have the boy band headset on the sidelines. It was really strange. Why have I forgot the dude's name?
I don't
name?
Think I know.
Hold on, I'll remember. It's Todd Graham.
Oh.
I wanted to say Todd Grantham. No. I'm like, I know that's not it. Graham. Yeah, I remember Todd Graham. He was there for 6 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, initially they kept the entire staff, except they replaced Todd Graham with Herm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Herm had that weird press conference with his weird agent. And then a bunch of people in the staff started leaving.
Yeah.
So he's got a kind of newish staff. And just the way Herm would talk about like his program is really strange. But it's worked so far, I guess.
Sure.
They're on pace to make a bowl.
Sure.
In the really bad Pac-12.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing a lot better than I thought he would, honestly. Yeah. I didn't think he'd do too good.
So tune in for that tonight if you like to watch college football action. 865-546-8200. We will go back over now to the McKinney team phone lines. Grab a call from Roger. Roger, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing tonight?
Roger, buddy, cannot complain. As always, we are hanging in there.
Oh, yeah, I can't complain either. It's good to talk to y'all. And I just wanted to ask y'all about, I know Pruitt came from Alabama. I just wanted to ask you, can Tennessee be, would Pruitt, and I'm saying that I know the players. I know he don't have the players yet. But I just want to ask you, with Pruitt going to Alabama's came from Alabama, and he knowing the system, he knows Alabama system a lot. Well, I asked can I help Tennessee a little bit, but knowing what the conditions on our team, can help it all by him knowing can help Tennessee to.
I think with Pruitt spending the time there, and with familiar that not just him but some of these other coaches how familiar they are with Alabama's system, offense and defense, I think that gives the staff a scheme advantage that some other opponents out on Alabama's schedule will not have this season. And we did bring it up a while ago talking about the scheme advantages when the staff has gotten together to game plan this week in preparing for this one. I think it gives you an advantage in the fact that, okay, you're not going to have no idea what you do when you're facing their defense, when you're trying to figure out what they're going to do on offense with Tua back there at quarterback. You're not going to be completely lost. You're going to have an idea of what they like to do. And I think early on in the game, I think a lot of fans will be shocked if we have some big offensive successes. Maybe if you force Alabama to punt early on in the game because they haven't had to do that a lot recently. I think that could definitely happen. The only problem for Tennessee is you can come out with those X's and O's, advantages that you have on some series. You can't be outmatched like some other teams are when it comes to strategy. The problem lies in the fact that you just aren't going to have the depth. Basically any other team they play, for an exception of maybe Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, those guys have depth. Every other team in the country, if they play Alabama, they just have a big disadvantage when it comes to depth. And, of course, you do have Nick Saban roaming on the sidelines. So as the game progresses, that's where basically all of Alabama's opponents have a disadvantage.
Right. Yeah, that's just hand for that, So you think that Tennessee can – the tenor, that's what I asked you. You think Tennessee played pretty good last weekend, and you think Tennessee can be in the game early? Can stay in the game early for a little while.
Absolutely, I think they can, Roger. Yeah,
they compete better.
Yeah, Roger, I think they can.
Game time, maybe.
Yeah, Roger, I think they can hang in early in the first half. That's another thing I think fans may be surprised over. Just looking back to who Alabama had to play last week, they had to play Missouri at home. Missouri, of course, has a really good offense, but overall as a team, I mean, they're an average to an above average team. And at the start, early in the second quarter, Roger, that was only a 3-point game. Yeah. Missouri was hanging in there 13-10. But like I said, as the game progresses, it's just it's hard to keep up with them. So Alabama ended up winning that 139-10. But as far as you're saying hanging in with them early, I absolutely think it can happen just because of the scheme issues we were talking about. I would not be shocked if that was only a slight Alabama lead sometime in the second quarter. If Alabama only went to halftime with maybe a touchdown, 10-point advantage into the locker room, I wouldn't be shocked either. It's when you come out in the second half and both teams make their adjustments, that's when you have to start worrying.
Yeah, true. So we'll see what happens. And hope we can compete with us. That's what happens. That's all I have. But good night. Hi. Good night.
Good night, Roger. Thanks for the phone call, buddy. Yeah, I mean, that's hanging in there, making sure that some people are shocked by what they see on their TV. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm wanting to be sitting watching the game Saturday. Let it be midway through the second quarter, being pleasantly surprised by what I'm seeing on my screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you be? I don't think it's out of the realm possibility for it to be somewhere in the second quarter and us just look at the score and go, wow, this is really what the score is, and it being like 17-10, Bama, or something, and thinking, wow, the Vols are hanging in there.
Sure.
The Vols have made some plays.
Yeah, I mean, because the last, especially 2 years, but even before that, by halftime the game's over.
It's over.
It's out of reach already. Even though you still have a whole half of football to play, you're done.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of, remember those bad Dooley teams in 2010, 2011? Ended up getting blown out by Alabama. But, like, at halftime of the 2011 game, that was, like, 6-3 Alabama.
Yeah.
It was, like, really, really close, and it was, like, really shocking to everybody.
Yeah.
And in 2010, you got the first score of that game. I remember that very well. Tarn Pool. You remember Tarn Pool?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Ran for, like, a 60-something yard touchdown, and we were up 7-0. But then, of course, man, it's just over the course of the game, it's just they wear you down.
Yep.
They wear you down because they always stay fresh. And they just have the coaching advantage.
Yeah, like you said, I would be shocked if we're that close in the second quarter going into halftime.
That's why I'm hoping to be shocked.
Sure,
because yeah. I don't expect that. I honestly, if you want my honest opinion, what I think is going to happen by halftime, we're going to be down almost 3 touchdowns.
I think so.
Probably
too.
At the very least, because that's just how it is, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's no shot at what we have on this roster, because I still think we have the tools and we have the improvement from week to week to where I think that a bowl game is definitely not out of the possibility.
Yeah, I'd agree.
It's just
they're just so,
as we've been saying dominant. All week, man, they do it to everybody.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised in a couple of weeks when they go down to Death Valley and they hop up this big top 5 matchup between them and LSU and Alabama ends up winning that game by 5 touchdowns. If that happened, do not be surprised.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Welcome to this Alabama team.
They're a juggernaut, man.
To just remind people, they have the Heisman front runner at quarterback. He has not played in the fourth quarter yet.
Yeah.
He has not thrown an interception yet.
Yeah, probably won't start this week either. I mean, our hope is just like Auburn last week. We're going to have to throw it, yeah. And we're going to hope that we can somehow force turnovers against them.
You hope they have their worst game they've had in a while.
Yes.
Which, yes. Bama's been known to have some sloppy offensive games.
Sure.
They've had several games where they've just, it's been turnover after turnover.
Sure.
You cut to Saban on the sidelines, he's absolutely losing it.
Yeah.
I hope for something like that.
I forgot who the caller was yesterday, but somebody mentioned Alabama hasn't played a very good defense at all this year so far. Their best was A&M, and look, I mean, they still,
it was Roberto.
Roberto,
shout to Roberto if you're listening. Thank you for the stats yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, they still won by what, 3 touchdowns or so.
Closest game has been the 22-point win.
And the reason
at home against
the A&M. Reason they're killing people is because the defense they've been playing have not been good. So,
but then again, to Rivera's point yesterday, some of their stats, like defensive total yard stats, is because they played Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. So. Sure.
Final segment of hour number one coming up after this short break. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump on the McKinney team phone lines tonight. Overtime finishes up for hour number one after this. Oh, I love that funky stuff.
It's a good one.
Love Red Hot Chili Peppers so much. Back here on Overtime for the final segment of hour number one on this Thursday. I'm going to tell you guys quickly about our good friends at Wind River Golf and Wind River Living. In the month of October, yes, that's the current month we're in, and there's still plenty of days in this month, so you have a lot of time to take advantage of this promotion. Really, really great promotion that you need to take advantage of. All you have to do this month, for a chance to win free unlimited golf for 2 months, you text WRGOLF, that is the letters W and R, hit the space bar, GOLF, to 31996. That is WRGOLF to 31996. Do that this month, you get a chance to win unlimited free golf for 2 months, and you will receive information on upcoming events, promotions, and giveaways from Wind River Golf and Wind River Living by way of no more than 6 text messages per month to your phone, so they will not blow up your phone. It's going to be a just really, really brief, not that many texts they'll send you, so really good stuff from Wind River. And just by signing up for this promotion, you're automatically going to receive a free fountain drink, courtesy of the Top of the Hill Grill at Wind River Golf Club. All you gotta do is sign up. So take advantage of that. For more more information on Wind River Golf, Wind River Living, go to windriverliving.com. You can learn about their championship golf course. Learn about fine dining at Citico's restaurant. You got the bed and breakfast. I do believe it's called the Lakeside Inn?
Yes.
Lakeside Inn Bed and Breakfast. The Wind River Yacht Club. Beautiful Teleco Lake. They have an expansive trail system as well. So it's a lot more than just a championship golf course, but the golf course is pretty sweet. So take advantage of that promotion one more time. That is WR Golf to 319-96. Get a chance to win unlimited free golf, courtesy of Wind River, for 2 months. Yeah, where do we want to end here? We've only got a couple of minutes. I'll tell you what, let's go back to yesterday's SEC Basketball Media Days. How about this from a respected coach in this conference? Mississippi State's Ben Howland. I believe you heard of him.
Yes, I have.
Been pretty good. Been building up that program down in Starkville. Also had a pretty good run with UCLA. A few Final Fours here and there.
Yeah.
He was talking about the media preseason predictions for the conference, which, of course, Kentucky was picked to finish first. Tennessee picked second and Auburn third. He says the media is fake news. They got it wrong.
Oh, man.
Do you think he's tooting his own horn? Do you think he is saying Mississippi State should be number one?
I wouldn't think so.
Fake news. That's also fake news. How about this? He says that the Tennessee Volunteers are, quote, the team to beat in the SEC.
Really?
This is a man who knows his basketball.
Yeah.
Howland said yesterday, they're the best team in our league going into the season, in my opinion, because all of the experience returning, there's no doubt they're the team to beat in our conference.
Hmm.
Look at you, Ben Howland.
Good on him.
Look at the big brain on Ben. He knows something. I mean, when you return 90% of your scoring, SEC Player of the Year,
yeah,
SEC Sixth Man of the Year, I mean,
why not? Yeah, it makes
perfect
sense.
You like
your
chances.
Yeah, yeah.
Just saying. So shout to Ben Howland right there.
Man, he's a VFL.
Yeah. VFL Ben Howland.
VFL Ben Howland.
Well, after the Vols came into the hump and humbled that ass.
Yeah.
Humbled that ass in a place that they were pretty good at home last year.
Deacon Barnes.
Whooped him.
Whooped him.
He knows who Daddy is.
Yeah.
Knows who Daddy Rick is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know basketball is still a few weeks from getting its official start. Tomorrow, though, it's the Rocky Top tip-off.
It is. Yeah, tomorrow night.
It's going to be fun. I think that's going to be by far the biggest attendance that they've had for something like that. And I know it's not a big deal here as Big Blue Mattis is up in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Duke's midnight thing they do. Whatever Blue Blood College basketball program. It's not as big of a deal. But I think that there's an excitement level around this basketball program that you haven't had since the peak of Bruce 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expecting a pretty good turnout, all things considered.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people.
I'm not saying we're going to pack out TBA.
I think it'll be close.
We're not packing out TBA.
But
people should take advantage of it, though. It's free.
Yeah, free stuff.
It's
free signings and everything.
You get to see a dunk contest. You get to see E-Pons probably break the internet with some type of dunk you'll
take
do.
Off from half court.
Lady Vols are going to be there as well. It's going to be a two-program thing right there.
Yeah.
You can go boo Holly
for
being an underachieving coach.
Yeah.
You can praise Rick for being an overachieving coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, take advantage of it.
It should be a fun time.
Basketball fever's here.
Yeah.
By the way, my original point was, before I got lost on the tip-off talk, I do think this team may still have a chip on their shoulder just for being picked second and everything.
Yeah, I think they like it.
I think being picked second is going to piss off a team more than picking to finish fifth or fourth.
Yeah. Second's
because
first
it's like, oh, really? We're the defending conference champs?
Yeah.
And you still don't think we're good
enough?
No
respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do too.
Keep pissing off this team.
Yeah, pick us.
Don't do that because we ended up losing
don't
in the second
pick
round.
Us.
Maybe pick us this time.
Maybe in the tournament.
Maybe pick us this time so we make it to the Sweet 16. That does it for hour number one of the show. Hour number two of Overtime coming up after this.